Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
I'm very honoured to be here. Thank you, Pastor Graham, and to meet Sally, and to be part of this very special dedication service at this wonderful church. God is here with us. And how blessed we are when we think of people in Nigeria and other countries of the world, in Egypt and so on, Christians dying for their faith, and we're dying to be here. And it's wonderful that your ministry goes from the womb to the tomb. So caters for everything. We hope the tomb's a long way away for all of us. So I'm very honoured to be part of this special dedication service of Life Ministry Church and the Oxley Christian College. And I congratulate all staff of the church and college and all volunteers for the work that you do and for the difference you make. And that's the key thing, the difference that you make to students, adults, families, and obviously the wider community. This site is just fabulous as I drove up this morning. Just wonderful. And the potential is enormous apart from what you're already achieving. So it's just fantastic. You are all part of God's mission to and love for the vast family at Oxley Christian College and Life Ministry Church with your admirable range of ministries for people from, as we said before, birth to the other end. I've been very blessed to have a wonderful life, and so far, it's still going, I hope, and I do thank God for it. I was the elder daughter of a working-class mother from Geelong and an immigrant father from England. They met at Williamstown High School, and for the 1930s, because I'm very old, when I was teaching, and I'd be teaching geography and demography, I'd occasionally talk about, you know, pyramids, population pyramids, and I would say I was born after the war. I'm a baby boomer. And occasionally a student would say, which war, miss? And some students would say, the Boer War. And I would lie and say, the Vietnam War. But my parents back in the 30s met at Williamstown High, as I said, and they were, when I think of it now, remarkable that they were at high school back then. They would have been a tiny percentage of the population. But they met at the cyclone wire fence that divided the girls from the boys in the playing areas. And wonderful parents. My mother, and particularly my mother and my maternal grandmother, were very strong, faithful, generous Christians, active in their service for God. So I had terrific role models. My father and my grandfather were Christians, but my mother and grandmother were particularly generous and strong in their faith. My grandfather, Grandpa as we called him, had five rules for his grandchildren, that is, all my cousins. And I'm going to share the five rules with you because they explain in some part my life, well, a lot of parts of my life. The first rule for all the grandchildren from Grandpa, love and honour God. No question. Number one rule. Number two rule, respect and love Nana. That wasn't hard either. Number three, barrack for Geelong. Sometimes my faithfulness to that rule caused heartache. And I can remember writing on a CV once, a loyal and long-suffering supporter of the Geelong Football Club. And I remember the Cuddabeans that wrote one time that some people are born to go through life without experiencing joy, satisfaction or contentment. For these people, God created the Geelong Football Club. But we've been very blessed in recent years. I can't complain. So that was rule number three. Rule number four was to be able to bat and bowl in cricket. And that was girls and boys. And rule number five was to be a good public speaker. Now, we were all, my cousins with whom I'm still great mates, we vary from introverts to extroverts. Clearly you know which end I'm on. And Grandpa would insist when we're all gathered round on a Sunday after church, when we could all gather at Nana and Grandpa's, he would insist on dobbing in a grandson or daughter to say grace, a grandson or daughter to thank Nana for the cooking and so forth, and he'd make us all get up, little up to bigger. And this was a great experience in actual fact. I remember, though, the worst shock in my life was driving into the Meyer Music Bowl many years ago, and with my own minister from Ashburton Baptist Church, which is my church, and I'll get on to that in a minute, driving in with him to the Meyer Music Bowl for a massive youth rally for Christ. And he said, "I've told them you're going to get up and speak about being a trainee teacher and a Christian." I said, "Am I?" I was 19 and got to the Meyer Music Bowl, and there was this vast crowd of wonderful young Christians, and I got pushed forward. I remember thinking, "Thank you, Grandpa, for encouraging me in that area." Not that I probably needed a lot of it. So I'm here to speak to you today, heavily influenced by my family and their reliance on God and the Bible, which they've passed on to me. Walking the walk, talking the talk, reading the Bible, faithfully attending church. And I have to say that as a young person, we had a lot of church on Sundays. We had Sunday school, church, Christian Endeavour, and then later on youth group at night. And youth group at night was marvellous because when the sermon came up, the lights would go down and we'd all sink back into our seats, and we were usually in love with someone in the, you know, the just wonderful. And we'd listen to the message too. So what else has helped me to be a Christian, apart from obviously being blessed to be born in the family I was? And I should just add that my sister and I were the first teachers in the family and the first to go to uni. And we both ended up principal. She became principal of Corowa Anglican Girls' School just before I became principal of Camberwell. So what's helped me? My church. And, I mean, when I'm being part of this service this morning, I'm just thinking how blessed you all are too to be part of this family. Just sensational. And my church is a family, and I'm very, very fortunate that I can go there and worship. I can also we give hugs and kisses to each other. Not everyone hugs and kisses everyone, but there's a lot of joy and sharing and crying with those that cry and rejoicing with those that rejoice. So I'm very, very blessed to be part of that, and I just pray for this wonderful ministry that this continues and reaches out to more and more people. MLC was a wonderful school to go to. My family wasn't super rich at all. Mum used to make our uniforms. She used to cut our hair. I remember one time she was cutting my hair and she goes, cuts a bit of my ear off. And I go, "Oh!" And Mum says, "Well, if you hadn't moved, I wouldn't have cut it." You know, reverse logic. But MLC was amazing in that I was privileged to have as a principal Dr. Harold Wood. And he was a fabulous Christian. He was also the President General of the Methodist Church of Australasia at the time. And every now and again when he was teaching us, I was fortunate to be in his Year 12 class for RE, or Scripture. And every now and again he'd say, and of course he was an imposing figure, you know, magnificent tall man, he'd say, "My dear girls," looking at his watch, "I have to dash to Essendon Airport. I've got to fly to New Zealand for the Methodist conference, so I'll be quick." He once asked everyone in Year 12 to write an essay for their respective scripture teachers on why I do or do not believe in God. Now, this was one of the most incredible things he ever did, because it made us all start talking. And you know how when you're Christians in a school, you don't all go around saying, "I believe in Jesus and I believe in God," every 5 minutes. And sometimes you're not asked if you do and so on, and sometimes people mightn't care, or it depends where you are. But this essay that we had to write was terrific. And all closest friends were all talking about, "Do you believe in God? And what are you going to say?" And so forth and so on. And I remember coming home from church on a Sunday night, and we'd just been having Psalm 8 about God and the stars and God's made us and all. And I was just euphoric, and I sat down and I wrote this essay from the heart, from the soul, why I believed in God. And Dr. Wood was blown away by the responses he got. And even those who didn't believe in God had the courage to say, "I don't." But in many cases, "I'm searching. I'm on the start of the pathway. I'm looking." So that was a terrific influence for me to go to a school like that. And at uni, I made a whole lot of new friends at uni. 16 of whom, from the first day I met them, still meet 5 times a year, and we're all Christians. And that's just remarkable, wonderful. Jeremiah 29 tells us God has plans for us. He knows these plans, and they are good plans, and he will help us to achieve them. So isn't that a wonderful promise? God has plans for us. And he doesn't say just some of us, he says for us. And I know that God has and still has plans for me. And I need to discern them and obviously follow them on. I got sent in the 80s to, and I'll name the school because it's a terrific school, but at the time it was very tough. I went to Pembroke Secondary College in Muralbark. And I went there in the 80s. Is anyone from there? It's like the time I was talking about the names of teachers down in Geelong, you know, Sue Witt, Sue Twit, Bev Twig, and how, you know, we used to get confused with Twit Wig and Twig and so on. And then I talked with David Bull, John Crapp, and others. These amazing names. But when I went to... I said to Sue Twit once, what's it like marrying a twit, becoming a twit? And she said, well, Elodie, it depends on your maiden name. So I took a deep breath and said, what's that, Sue? And she said, crapper. So I think she was better off being a twit. But anyway, I went to Pembroke Secondary College, and of course, as I'm saying, I'm speaking not ill of the school, except that back then, when I first went there in 1981, you were allowed to smoke everywhere except class and the canteen, which meant you could spit. There was no uniform, there was no dress code. I was blown away by the clothes some of them wore, and boys with razor blade earrings and so on, girls in nappy dresses and so on. Bells were just a suggestion. Many teachers just got rid of their classes when they'd had enough of them, as some kids said to me one day. I said, what are you doing out of class? Well, I've got all my year sevens doing beautiful things. And they stormed past. I said, why are you out of class? It's 20 minutes to the bell. And they said, oh, our teacher told us to F off. Now, it was a tough, tough school. I'd come from Bell Park High, which was like teaching in kids' club or Sunday school. And I'd gone to this school. And I remember saying, why me, Lord? What have you put me here for? Have you got a plan for me here? And I was so depressed to start with. And then about day three, up came, well, I'll name him, John O'Connell. And he said, hello there, I'm head of year 11, year level coordinator. And he said, are you a Christian? And I said, yes, I am. And he said, oh, we've got a prayer group. And he said, we meet regularly. And there in this tough, tough school back then was this wonderful group of teachers, fabulous teachers, but also strong Christians who prayed for those kids. So I went to the prayer meetings, and it lifted my spirit, and of course it enabled me to be more valuable in the school too, knowing I had this group there. And so after I left 7 years later, I cried my heart out. I remember walking out of my geography class from my year 12s with this beautiful expensive vase they'd given me, crying all the way back. And we had uniform in and we had smoking out and we had our numbers were coming up. And that school's got a wonderful qualities, but it's just battling a little bit of the reputation, I think. So God had a plan for me there, and he put me there, and it made me stronger person, a better teacher, because in a school like that, coming from Bell Park and Geelong, where children just were academic and thirsting, in this school, I had to really teach. I had to really engage. I had to really challenge and keep them all on the ball. My background and my personal acceptance of Jesus Christ as my Saviour has led me to some service for him, and including teaching Sunday school, youth group roles, scripture union camps in the holidays many years ago in the 80s and 90s. I would go away in September holidays and we'd coach students for their VCE. I'm part of our worship team and the human relations group at Ashburton Baptist, and I was an elder for 13 years. And as Graham said, I've got voluntary membership of four boards, including Access Ministries, which, as you know, has been attacked enormously in the press. Some of it's been our fault. Some of us, we have taken for granted our privilege and right to be in government schools to offer SRI. But in many cases, the attacks have come from rationalists and other groups. And I think you may reflect my feelings here, I think you will, that never in my lifetime have I seen so many attacks on the Christian faith and Christianity in our increasingly secular society. For people to mock and jeer, for the most common swear word in our society to be Jesus, the name of our Lord, it's just mind-boggling, isn't it? And I notice in The Age every now and again, Sam DeBrito wrote an article about 2,000 years ago, you know, that people believe this fellow Jesus came along, and myths and you know, and all superstitions, all these challenges to our faith. So to be here this morning and to be at my own church affirms me that God is still here. Our Holy Spirit's working in us. But we can't be complacent. We can't say in the olden days where every town, every village had the church, the school, the pub, tennis club maybe, whatever, and people respected the church. Nowadays, we don't just get that respect. And yet it means our mission can't be less. It just has to be slightly different. So Access Ministries is fighting back, and we've lifted our game in some respects in training volunteers and so on. But the attacks have been, I think, grossly unfair. Mustard is a group, I'm on the board of Mustard, which is a group of lovely Christians who work in private schools, independent schools, at lunchtime Christian clubs and so on, and also the board of MLC. I'm on the board of Foundation Burundara, which is the charity arm of the city of Burundara, and that is wonderful to be able to give out scholarships, to raise money and give out scholarships to needy students. And it meant that I was asked to make a video, because of my other career, which I'll get onto in a moment. I was asked to make a video with a Hawthorn footballer because of Burundara, Hawthorn being in Burundara. I was allowed to choose. So I chose the only Hawthorn player that I would love to be playing with, Geelong. Well, that's a bit unfair. But the main Hawthorn player, and that was Luke Hodge. And he's lovely. We had a great time together. So that's got nothing to do with what I'm talking about, really. I'm also the president of a women's service club, like Rotary, and we raise money also. Can you serve as a Christian in your daily work? And I'm thinking particularly of the teachers and staff of Oxley Christian College here. And yes, obviously, yes. And it's, I would say it's easier in a Christian school. But in every sort of setting we are, we can and should be lights on the hill, as you said, Pastor Graham, salt to flavour, yeast, all those other wonderful illusions that we should be as Christians. And I've been very blessed in my 43 years with the Education Department. It's had so many different iterations in its names, DOE, DSE, DEET, DCD, etc. DCD is the current name, Department of Education and Early Childhood Development, but most principals call it deceased, DCD. And my secretary at Camberwell used to always call it the Education Department through all those name changes. And I said to her one day, Glenys, you're going to be right. It'll be the Education Department again. Several governments onwards, I would suggest. I was also principal at Brentwood Secondary College, as was mentioned, for 2.5 years before Camberwell High School. And very briefly, I was the principal of Summer Heights High. And I just have to make an allusion to that because some people thought that I asked for this job and auditioned and so on. And I have to say to you that Chris Lilly had got and his production team at Brighton Secondary College, where the chaplain is a fabulous guy, and I had a lovely chat with him. They had got as far as they could in Summer Heights High, but they didn't have a principal, and they auditioned 50 women actors. And Chris Lilly wanted them to ad-lib, because he does a lot of ad-libbing, ad-lib like a principal. Now, as I said to someone, if someone said to me, Elida, you're needed in a movie and you've got to ad-lib like a matron of a hospital, I'd just make up things from TV, wouldn't I? And I'd probably make up things from Carry On Matron or something, you know, some matron old movie. I wouldn't have a clue. I'd just make up things. So these poor actors weren't doing too well. And then Chris Lilly was told, maybe you should get a principal who can act. And he said, no way, we're not having a non-actor, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Desperation drove them to do that, and they rang up the Independent Schools of Victoria Association, and that lady at the desk said, I don't think anyone would be interested. And then they rang the government system, the VASP, Secondary Principal Association, and the president was in town, and he said, get out to Camberwell High, Ellie Brett, and I'll do it. And he rang me and warned me. And I said, oh, no way, I'm not going to moonlight and da-da-da. Anyway, a lady from the ABC arrived within about 10 seconds. I think she beamed me up, Scotty was on. And I said no and for a week. And she drove us mad. She rang the school every day. And in the end, I succumbed on the promise that it would be 3 days out of school, which I took as official leave. You know, I didn't just sneak away. And the rest of it would be in the after school and in the school holidays. Now, when I agreed finally to do this, I thought, well, it's on the ABC, so I won't have a big audience. 20 million DVDs and later. Friends of mine said they came home on Qantas recently and they said, we had you on Qantas, which is very embarrassing. But I have to say that the benefit for that was that my cred with my students at Camberwell High went from where it was to somewhere up here. I could not believe it. Even naughty kids would rush up and say, oh, what happens tomorrow, miss? Well, you were good, miss. And carrying on like that. So Crystal Lee is... Well, I'm diverting. I hope that's not offending everyone. Crystal Lee is the most introverted and modest person I've ever worked with in my life. I got one big kiss from him when he was in dressed as Jamie on the day that I finished my filming. And he's quite remarkable. And I have to say, just as a by before I leave that, and I still get people saying, are you Miss Murray? Which is, you know, I get very embarrassed and say, oh, and they sort of laugh away like the girl at Officeworks the other day. rushed around like mad. I do have to say that it certainly helped my relationship with all the students. But it also gave me an insight to Brighton Secondary College, where it was all being filmed. And when Camberwell High was approached for a movie with Nicolas Cage and Rose Byrne, I rang up the principal of Brighton Secondary College, Julie Podbury, and I said, Julie, whose permission did you get to have the ABC in for 3 months? And she said, the school council. And I said, what about the education? DCD? Didn't ask them, she said. Rang up Melbourne High. They had filmed The Pacific was filmed at Melbourne High. Principal Jeremy, I said, Jeremy, whose permission did you get to do this? School council? Did you ask the legal people at DCD? You're joking. So we did our own movie in the holidays 1 year, and we had a great time. They paid us a lot of money just to have our premises for a fortnight. Now, I've got to tell you also that I went to England in 1970, and one of the lovely ladies who greeted me this morning said, I have to tell you this story. This is another why me, Lord, example. I went away in 1970 as a very young thing, and lots of my friends had sailed out of Port Melbourne. I flew. I had a boyfriend in London, in Australia, who was working in London. I boarded with old school friends from school, and he was over there. And I said to him, I need a job. I have to teach for 70 days minimum to keep my place on the seniority roll and my superannuation intact. I won't go into the seniority role, except that you know, if you were going for a principal's job against Sally and you were hopeless and she was marvellous, and it's just... You must. I'm sure you are, but I'm sure you're not hopeless. If Sally was junior on the role, seniority role to you, she missed out and you got the job. And it was terrible because now and again someone would come and say, oh, Fred Nerk's died. And someone else would say, oh, good, I've gone up one. So I went to England and I had to teach 70-odd days. And the boyfriend said to me, Elder, I've met Florette McFarlane, Deputy Principal of Kingsdale Comprehensive School in South London, and guess what? They need a geography history teacher for next term. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And I meant it. Because this just... Exactly. I got on the train at Victoria Station. I went through Charles Dickens country. The train was elevated. I went through, you know, suburbs like Brixton, still famous for the riots and the prison, and other suburbs with terraced houses, grimy, you know, all joined up. And I'm looking around thinking, oh, I get to this school, 1,000 black kids, 1,000 white, a great big square school, high rise up here that looks like our worst housing commission flats in Melbourne, parents yelling at their kids at lunchtime from the balconies, kids unscrewing desk lids during class to drop them out on the teachers at sport. Unbelievable school. The principal was a Welshman, a little squat Welshman, and he occasionally came on the train too, and I used to think, how does he manage? And he was a Christian, and I thought, well, he would need to have that strength, that inner strength. I'll just give you a couple of examples of life at that school. One was when the kids walked. We were on the train coming from London to South Victoria Station to Sydenham Hill, and I was travelling every day and every night, usually, with the deputy principal, Florette McFarlane, Tom, Clement, myself, and one other person. I can't always remember who it was. And the kids were sat at the end of the train to be away from our little clients. And one of them walked past and rattled the door, and we took no notice. And when we got to Sydenham Hill, out alighted all these kids for our school, and we couldn't open the door. We all tried. They'd locked us in. So the deputy principal and one of the head staff and I and the others, we headed off dramatically towards the White Cliffs of Dover. And at every station we're going... And, of course, we're at the wrong end of the train and there's people reading the paper anyway. Eventually we were let out. We ran up over the overpass, waited for the next train to go up north to England, to London, jumped out of Sydenham Hill, rushed to school at 10 o'clock and had gone all around 2,000 students, and some of them were telling us they'd had by doing this and this as we walked past. My other story from Kingsdale Comprehensive School. And I should have known, a comprehensive school, I mean, the great schools of England are, of course, the grammar schools, and then your secondary moderns and the comprehensives were another world. I took my Year 7s out just for a small excursion down to Dulwich, which is like Toorak. And I bought them all an icy pole, which, you know, chicken feed for me. Bought them all an icy pole, and a whole lot of them came up in tears. And I said, "Why are you crying?" Particularly the girls, some of the boys. And they said, "It's the first time we've gone on an excursion and the teacher's bought us an iced lolly." And I thought, how underprivileged are these kids compared with the kids that I used to ruin with chocolate frogs and wonderful excursions and all the rest of it. They cried at the thought of someone taking them out. I'm just moving on rapidly because so is the time. I taught a Year 10 class, and I taught two Year 10 classes. One class was called 4RB, which stood for Remedial Boys. Now, I'm sure that Oxley Christian College does not have a class labelled Remedial Boys or Nitwits or Morons. This was a class, Remedial Boys. Now, I should add that every day before I started teaching at that school, I prayed, and I used to pray, "Lord, use me. Lord, be with me. Lord, help me." And when I walked in for the first lesson with 4RB, all the boys stood up and they all undid their flies. That's all they did. They didn't go any further. And I thought, what did Dip Ed at Melbourne Uni tell me about this? Nothing. I said, "Would you please sit down?" And with that one phrase, they immediately start to sing, "Waltzy Matilda, Waltzy Matilda, where's your kangaroo, where's your bikini?" Now, those kids, God made them, and they looked as tough as nails. Some of them were on drugs. I was told never to stop them if they want to go out and have a fix. And they were on the old injection, you know, needles and tourniquet thing. And now and again, one of them would get up and say, "Excuse me, I'm going to go and have a fix." And I'd say, "Very well, you may." As if, you know, what was I going to say? What was I going to do if I didn't? And so it was a really, really tough school. But I used to talk to those kids. I learnt all their names. And I was a bit unusual, learning all their names, said one of the teachers. "You're only here for a term." And I said, "But they're my students. Why wouldn't I know all their names?" And that class, I prayed over those kids. And, you know, I had a terrific time with them. I gave them a fairly easy test. I taught the work thoroughly. I revised it thoroughly. The test was easy. I marked it easily. When I gave out the tests, grown boys cried with joy. "It's the first test I've passed in 2 years," said one of them. Now, isn't that an indictment on that school? But to finish on this, I took out the other Year 10 class. You weren't allowed to take 4RB out, partly because three of the students were missing. They were in jail because they'd raped the Indian teacher who I had replaced. So that was just another little challenge. This other class, I had to take them to south to the North Downs to where Winston Churchill grew up in Westerham, and we had to do a whole lot of geography there. And I won't go into all the details, but I went and practiced the week before and so on. When I got on the bus for the day, there's the kids all in casual clothes and we're all looking happy. Two amazing things, or unusual things, not amazing, unusual things. Firstly, we only had one bus driver. Now, Kingsdale had such a reputation that every time they took kids out, they had two drivers, one to drive and one to protect the driver. And this driver said, I said, oh, only you today. And are you ready for this national compliment? He said, when they told us there was an Australian teacher taking out the students, they said, you'll only need one. But the second shock was to see in the front seat of the bus, Andreas, from the class, Andreas, cradling his shotgun. And I thought, I didn't even get to that, what did Dip Ed teach me about this? I just said, Andreas, why have we got the shotgun with us? You know, I used to say the most ridiculous inane things nowadays. You know, why have we got a shotgun? I said, why have we got the shotgun with us? And he said, I told my dad I'm going to shoot some foxes and rabbits. I said, you're not going to shoot foxes and rabbits. We're not taking that shotgun. He said, yeah, we are. I'm taking my gun. I'm going to shoot some foxes and rabbits. So I stand there, look at the driver. He looks at me. I think, dear God, what do I do? And suddenly, wonderful answer to prayer. I said, it was Tuesday, and the students knew that Tuesday was staff meeting time and they got out a little bit earlier. I said, I need a girl or a boy to run into Mr. Reese, the principal, and tell him that I'll be late back for the staff meeting. And I'll give that boy or girl, and I'm thinking, two Mars bars. And praise God, every hand went up. So I had to pretend to look around. I had to pretend to include a girl. And eventually I said, Andreas, you're the one. And he was thrilled. Two Mars bars, I heard him say. Gets up with his... I said, take your gun. And... and he ran up the path, and I said to the driver, off we go, and off we went. So I have been blessed with my experiences, I have to tell you. And just to finish that, and then to finish what I'm saying, because I'm taking probably too much time. On the last day at that school, nearly, the last week, I went down to the general office to tell them to terminate my pay because I was about to do 5 months of Contiki trips all over Europe and North Africa, and I didn't want them chasing me for, you know, £27, 15 shillings or whatever it was because of overpay. And as I came down the stairs, there's the principal's office and the deputy and the office ladies and all of that, and in front of me are two boys with knives in their white shirts and their grey trousers stabbing each other. To death. Not really to death. They hadn't got to an organ or anything like that. But blood everywhere, you know, my blood everywhere. And I stand there like this, and you know what I won't say about Tibet. I look and I think, oh, what do I do? What do I do? And I stood there probably for 2 seconds, but it felt like, you know, an eternity. Suddenly the door of the principal opened and out came Mr. Reese. And I thought, thank you, God. And Mr. Reese summed it up like that. And I heard the principal say, why don't you two boys kindly go and do that elsewhere? And off they went. So I have been very blessed because not all my schools have been like that. Camberwell High School was a wonderful school. I have to say I was very proud to be there and very honoured to lead that school. We had Christian groups coming in. We had Christian staff. But we just had professional people all round, and it was wonderful. And I can remember when we had an incident with a tragedy in our school, and I remember getting up and I prayed about this. As I was walking to assembly, I prayed again. It's a bit like corridor curriculum, you know, the longer the corridor, the better planned the lesson sort of thing. But I was actually doing sort of like, you know, prayer thing. I was sort of praying as I got there. But I remember getting up and saying in this, you know, government school, I got as close as I could to being... I used to say sometimes, like when God created the world and things in newsletters, you know, I'd throw in things like this. But I remember saying to them how we all grieve with, you know, naming the family. And I said, we are a family. And I'm looking at 1,200 kids. I said, and 119 staff. I said, we are a family. One of us bleeds, we all bleed. And I said, we have got to look after each other. And I really, God was speaking through me. And a lot of staff said later on, that was really good. That was terrific. And that's what you are. You are a family. The college and this church and all your other ministries, you are a family. You're all different. Some of you are introverted, extroverted. Some of you are strong Christians, absolute convinced. Others are sort of still on the pathway, climbing the stairs, whatever. But you are a family, and that's what we need to be. And so at my church, I said before that we give hugs and kisses and congratulate and so on. And I pray that you will be able to reflect your love of God and the life of Jesus in your service. And the service and your commitments and commitment as individuals and as members of teams, I pray that they'll enrich your life, but they will enrich the lives of people you serve. And I just pray God's Spirit, God's love, the love of Jesus will be with you and will guide you in all your future. And that 2015 is a wonderful year for everyone. So thank you very much.